Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the heat, which is on Kevin Durant. Could KD soon be on the Heat? As of yesterday, that answer could be yes. We'll tell you why. Plus, it's soon to be former running mate. We will tell you the only way that Kyrie emerges from all of this as the biggest winner of all. And then, how in the world is he not a top 10 quarterback? Why Lamar Jackson has everything at stake before the NFL season even begins. All that and more as we get up with you starting right now on a Tuesday. Delighted you were there. Delighted he is here. The big fella, Chris Canty, is ready to roll. And that's not all. Take a look at the squad that we put together for you on this Tuesday morning. Oh, even in July, Lewis Riddick's got the three-piece suit working and looking good. Diana's up early. Friedel's up really early in Vegas. Zach Lowe is ready to go. We will get to the hoops in a minute, but we begin with the game of the night, the Mets and the Braves. The Mets had a 10.5 game lead in their division at the start of June. It was down to a game and a half last night, so they needed their horse, their ace, to be every bit of it, and he was. Max Scherzer in the fourth inning on a roll. That was Matt Olson. This is Austin Riley. Scherzer's second straight start with 7 Ks through the first four innings. Bottom of 7, it's 2-0 Mets. There are two outs. Scherzer had retired 20 of 21 batters. But hold on! That's Austin Riley, and the plot thickens as he finally catches up to Scherzer. Braves cut it to a 2-1 deficit. Two batters later, the tying run is on. Scherzer's still on. Eddie Rosario. Down he goes. Look at the emotion from Scherzer. 7 strong. 3 hits, 1 run, 9 strikeouts. Mets up 2-1 when he leads. Top of 8. Same score. Nobody on. Luis Guillorme. He gets all of that one leading off the frame with his 9th home run. Scherzer says, oh, we love the insurance, and the Mets go on to get one they need behind their ace. 4-1 is the final. The Mets' division lead stretching back to 2.5 games. Again, they entered just 1.5 up. That had been their smallest division lead since April 16th. Again, that lead had ballooned to as many as 10.5 at the beginning of June. All right, to the NBA, where the huge story remains, the future of Kevin Durant. Nearly 2 weeks since he requested a trade from Brooklyn. Miami, one of the teams very much on his wish list as the entire league convenes in Vegas for the NBA Summer League. The Miami Herald's Barry Jackson, who has been covering sports in South Florida for 35 years, tweeted the following yesterday. He tweeted, Heat's general manager Andy Ellisberg and Nets general manager Sean Marks were seen talking this morning in Vegas, per sources. The Heat continue its pursuit of Kevin Durant. Andy and Sean were chatting at their hotel. Heat are determined to exhaust all options to acquire Durant before pursuing anything else significant. So for the second time this morning, I say, the plot thickens. And for the first time, I say, Nick Friedel, catch us up. You're there in Vegas. We know that Miami has been one of the target spots here. Should they be considered right now in the lead as contenders for KD?
No, because Greeny, on paper, they don't appear to have what the Nets are looking for right now. But Pat Riley is a wizard. He always seems to find a way. And as somebody told me at Thomas and Mack Center last night, Pat's 77 years old. He desperately wants one more title before he retires and gets out of the game. And from a basketball standpoint, Greeny, I have long felt that Miami was absolutely the best fit for Kevin. Because Kevin is that dynamic scorer that Jimmy Butler needs next to him to get the Heat over the hump. I've covered Jimmy since he came into the league. He is a fantastic player, but in my opinion, this is a guy who needs that guy who can pour in 30 next to him. We've seen him take teams to the finals. I know people will hear that and say, no, no, Jimmy can do it. But he hasn't been able to do it yet because he hasn't had somebody as dynamic as Kevin next to him. Kevin has a history with Jimmy going back to the Olympics. They played together. Same goes for Kyle Lowry. I think he could hit the ground running in Miami because of that relationship and because the culture with the Heat has been in place and all they're about is winning.
So a dozen years after LeBron took his talents to South Beach, could Kevin Durant wind up doing the same? Zach Lowe, how do you like it?
I never doubt Pat Riley. There are agents and executives around the league, not plugged into these talks per se, who just sort of nod and roll their eyes and say, boy, is Durant going to end up in Miami? Because that's just what happens with Pat Riley when he throws the rings on the table. But it's hard to see a deal that really makes sense for one simple reason. Bam Adebayo. Kevin Durant would need to play with Bam Adebayo in Miami for them to have a realistic shot to win the title. The Nets would not do a Miami one-for-one trade without Bam Adebayo in the deal. Tyler Hero and three first-round picks and some swaps and some salary, that's not enough to get it done. Bam Adebayo problem number two. He and Ben Simmons can't play together in Brooklyn because of an arcane salary cap rule that we won't even get into. So then you start saying, wait, can we send both Durant and Simmons to Miami? And what who goes where and Bam goes where? And then your brain starts to break because it just doesn't work for either team. If the Heat can pull this off, I would be surprised. I don't doubt them. But to me, if I'm Kevin Durant and I'm the Miami Heat and we're coming together to try to win the championship, Bam Adebayo has got to be on that team. And I'm just not sure I see a pathway to that happening. But again, Pat Riley sees many, many pathways. And if he doesn't see a pathway, he just opens one up. You know, right. chop the bush away with a machete.
Yeah, if there isn't a door, he builds one. So we'll see if he's able to do it in South Florida. So Chris Canty, let's sort of take a step back and look at this from, 30,000 feet if we can. I listen to you on your radio show all the time talking about this. The fact that Durant finds himself where he finds himself right now in the midst of all of this, whether it winds up being Miami, whether somehow it circles back again to Phoenix, whether, oh my goodness, if it winds up being Golden State, what does all of this say to you?
Well, first of all, G, think about this. Kevin Durant joining an organization that has championship DNA that was the number one seed in their conference last season. Mm. Stop me if you've heard that story before.
It's a good point.
I mean, Phoenix and Miami were his top two destinations, and yet we find ourselves in this position again. But Kevin Durant's legacy, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, there's going to be a black mark on it because he is the face of the biggest failure in NBA history. Think about the collection of talent that he himself spearheaded the charge to assemble in Brooklyn. When you had a former MVP in James Harden, when you handpicked your running mate 3 years ago in free agency in Kyrie Irving, and you have one playoff series win to show for it, G, it is an admission of failure no matter how you slice it. It's a bigger failure than what we saw with my Lakers once upon a time when they had Wilt Chamberlain, Elgin Baylor, and Jerry West. This is a bigger failure than when Charles Barkley joined the Houston Rockets with Clyde Drexler and Hakeem Olajuwon. There's no way around it. Kevin Durant is the best player, and usually in today's NBA, the best player is a culture setter. That's clear that Kevin Durant is not that dude, and for him to decide he wants out of Brooklyn now, I mean, it's an indictment on his sports character.
It's an interesting point, and I'm glad that you made it here. I've heard you say it on the radio, because he's the one person in all of this who has a permanent record. We can say this stuff goes on Kyrie. Kyrie doesn't have a permanent record. He's an excellent player, but he's not going to be talked about 50 years from now. Kevin Durant is. So, Zach, it does sort of make me think, as people talk about, well, he can't do this because it'll hurt his legacy. He can't do that because of what it'll do to his legacy. It kind of feels like the horse is out of the barn on that one. He should just kind of go wherever it is. He feels like he'll be happiest, because I'm not sure anything that he does at this point salvages the quote-unquote legacy, Zach. What do you think?
I totally disagree. First of all, in Brooklyn, you can say that he was supposed to be the culture setter and he wasn't and all that. You know what he was? He was the one of the three stars that always played and always played hard when he was healthy. You could not say that for Kyrie Irving. You could not say that for James Harden. Number two, I do think there is a move, if you care about legacy, and I think probably Durant does to some degree, that rehabilitates it. If you think it's in need of rehabilitation or repair or polishing or whatever term you want to use, I don't think that would be going to the Warriors team who just won the title, although Durant this time could spin it and say, they traded for me. I didn't choose them. They chose me. I'm not sure how that would go over. But I do think there's a world in which he goes somewhere where he can, if not build it, finish it, be the keystone that turns a team that's good into a title team that clearly would not have won it without him. I do think there are possibilities for that. And Phoenix and Miami, to me, would both qualify in that, especially Phoenix.
Wow, really interesting. I want to put a bookmark in all this and come back to it, but let me give you a quick final thought on it, Chris. Go.
Yeah, I hear Zach's point about how well Kevin Durant played in Brooklyn, but the biggest thing that Kevin Durant should have done is hold his teammates accountable, and that being Kyrie Irving, the guy that he decided to team up with in Brooklyn in order to make it a championship organization. The fact that he didn't do that is what undermined the entire situation.
Fridell, final word, go.
Isn't that Kyrie Irving's fault? Isn't that on Kyrie Irving? Why is it, I agree some of it has to go on Durant, but why are we focusing this discussion on the guy who played and not the guy who didn't play? To me, that's on Kyrie more than anybody else.
But Zach, Kyrie Irving's biggest leverage point was Kevin Durant being as good as he was. That's it.
Go ahead, Fridell, put
the
a final word on it.
The biggest thing you have to remember, guys, is that the Nets organization loves Kevin Durant. He showed up every day and was a culture setter for that team, game after game after game. The biggest question Kevin's going to have to answer, legacy-wise, is why he attached the end of his prime to Kyrie. And the answer you get when you talk to people who know him the best is because he's close with him. They're very close friends. But in the end, the relationship in Golden State had run its course. And with Kyrie, it never worked because they couldn't count on him night to night. And that's the question that will hang on the end of Kevin's legacy.
All right, it's a fascinating conversation. We'll continue to have it, but let's go now, if we can, from the sublime to the ridiculous, if you will. Now, take a look at what happened yesterday in Summer League, Chris Canty. Oh, look who it is!
Richard Jefferson!
Let's go! He's officiating a Summer League game. Here he is early getting a call, right or wrong. I don't know. We got the Knicks taking on Portland here. Everybody's arguing with him. He's checking with other people. The fans are all over him. Tom Thibodeau's giving him a hard time. Poor RJ's just out there trying to do his job. All right, later in the quarter, watch this. This is clearly a three, right? Isn't RJ supposed to go up like this, right? Where's the one hand? Where's the other hand?
RJ's got the best seat in the house, Greeny. He's checking out the game. He's not doing his job officiating.
The second time, he actually did it. And later on, he owned up to his mistake.
I did it the second time. That time I did it.
RJ having some fun. He actually went to a referee school or whatever, the officiating seminar. It is to be ready for that. Good fun being had by all yesterday there in Vegas. And so we will continue with that. All right, coming up, back to KD we'll go. His soon-to-be former running mate. We will tell you the only way that Kyrie can emerge from all of this as the biggest winner of all. And then to the football we go. How is he not a top 10 quarterback? Why Lamar has everything at stake before the season even begins. That's next. This is Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
All right, we're back on Get Up, and we're going to play a game of buy or sell on some of the hot takes that the executives, coaches, and players gave to Jeremy Fowler and some of their evaluations. One of them said of Tom Brady, he's the ultimate end-of-game player, the last shot in hoops guy, ball in his hands, wouldn't take anyone else. Diana Russini, buying or selling that take?
I am buying. Here's my credit card, Greeny. I'm all in on this because of all the active players, he has the best winning percentage in the fourth quarter. By the way, Derek Carr is second behind him. I thought that was really interesting. But look, if we're going all time, though, because let's just take this one step further, I'm going Peyton Manning, two-minute drill, no questions asked. But I'm certainly buying Tom Brady right now of all the active quarterbacks.
Love it. Chris Canty, you're next. How about this comment on Russell Wilson? I think you'll see a rejuvenated Russ with the Broncos. He'll have more ownership of the offense and a good supporting cast. He will get his spot back. Buying or selling that?
Oh, Greeny, I'm buying it. I'm all in on that take because I've said it before and I'll say it again. Nothing motivates a player like fresh cash. And for Russell Wilson, knowing there's a new ownership in Denver, I mean, he's looking at being able to get a new contract. When he traded all that draft capital in order to bring him over to Seattle, that's a part of the deal. They're going to wait and see how he gels with this supporting cast, which is significantly better than anything he's had in Seattle the past couple of years. But Russell Wilson, we'll get the best version of him that we've seen in the last few seasons because he wants that new contract after this season.
All right, and one more. This one's on Dak Prescott. Lewis Riddick, it's for you. An NFC executive says he has to prove he can take them to the next level. He's not in the top echelon. Lewis, you're buying or selling that?
Yeah, I'm selling that statement. Look, I hate that you know, that kind of headline type of evaluation on a quarterback when they say, well, he has to prove he can take them to the next level. It is still a team game, remember? And then when we look at the nuanced statistics behind Dak Prescott, whether you're talking about next-gen stats, completion percentage above expectation, total QBR, QBR under pressure, efficiency against the blitz, guess what? Dak is right in there in the top 10. As a matter of fact, in some of these areas, he's in the top 5. So when you look at this objectively, this is a darn good quarterback, man. The team needs to also do their part.
We will talk more about him a little bit later. You see, he came in number 10 on the list, but noticeably absent from that list of the top 10 quarterbacks is Lamar Jackson. Yesterday on this program, Ryan Clark said this.
Lamar doesn't fit what the Ravens do. Lamar is what the Ravens do. That's why it's mind-boggling to me that he's not in the top 10. He's not a system quarterback because he is the system. Lamar Jackson should already be paid, and Lamar Jackson shouldn't step foot into Baltimore, Maryland without having his name to the paper and getting whatever it is guaranteed for the life of the contract.
Okay, so that to me is a fascinating one because it's all well and good to argue over whether he's the 9th or the 11th or the 13th best quarterback of the NFL. But when he's changing his Twitter picture to I need money, you know, the grills as he did, now it feels, Diana Russini, my insider extraordinaire, as though we have crossed something of a Rubicon in the Lamar Jackson contract dispute. Where do we stand as of right now?
Well, first of all, this list is getting a lot of buzz around the league. A lot of coaches, GMs I've been talking to are all kind of questioning some of these answers that were received. A lot of them agree with some of this, but Lamar Jackson not being in this is certainly a headline here because he is a type of player that every defensive coordinator in the league does not want to face because he is so dynamic. So in terms of where we stand with him being a Baltimore Raven right now, they are having conversations, and the last I spoke with a source in Baltimore is they feel good that this will be completed by the start of training camp. So we're talking about over the next few days, few weeks here. So this should be able to get done. They feel good about it.
Okay, so again, he changes the Twitter picture. Lewis, there's no way to ignore that. And many people, you just heard Ryan Clark say, like, he's the whole team, he's the whole system. Mm-hmm. There shouldn't be any questions asked here. Is it as simple as that?
Look, I think in Lamar's situation here in particular, which is really the only one that matters, you know, it doesn't really matter how he compares to other quarterbacks from a statistical standpoint and all the different advanced metrics. In this particular situation, what he means to this football team, which is this, 76% of the games that he starts, they win. They average 29 points a game when he starts. That says enough right there in terms of his importance to this franchise and why he probably right now feels as though he is deserving of a contract that is of the upper echelon in terms of contract, which right now, obviously, Deshaun Watson's contract is the standard. When we're talking about 220, 230 million plus fully guaranteed, when you talk about his importance and when he looks at his importance to this franchise, which has been built totally around his skill set, around his personality, the offense has been generated around his skill set, around what he does the best, you can see why he is probably sitting there going, look, I need to get paid. I need my money. And why Ryan Clark is saying the kind of things that he's saying and why some people feel as though he deserves to be in the top 10 when you're talking about, you know, this kind of survey. And I'm not going to disagree with it in that respect. It's not really, you know, Lamar is such a unique unicorn type of quarterback, Greeny, that I don't think you can necessarily compare him to the other quarterbacks using standard metrics in terms of what he really means when you're talking about what he means to this organization. That's why this contract negotiation is so unique. And that's why I feel as though we're in uncharted territory with him right now. But he does deserve to get paid, and he deserves to get paid handsomely.
Yeah, I love the way RC put it. He's not a system quarterback. He is the system. Canty, how do you see it?
Yeah, I'm the same way. What Lewis just said about advanced analytics and not being able to compare Lamar to other quarterbacks in that way is why I can't understand how people have Dak Prescott at number 10 and not Lamar Jackson on this list. Think about what we're talking about, Greeny. We're talking about a guy that's 25 years old that's got an MVP on his resume and a road win in the playoffs. Dak Prescott ain't done that yet. Mm-hmm. And so my whole point is this. When you start looking at what Lamar Jackson does, it's clear that he's a force multiplier. And I think that's the biggest point of difference that we're looking for in today's quarterbacks, especially if you're talking about paying a guy $40-plus million a year. Because guess what? Some of the guys on the supporting cast, you're ultimately going to end up losing. But what allows you to have sustained success, what allows you to have production on the offensive side of the ball, is that guy being able to elevate the talent around him. Look at where the Dallas Cowboys had to do this offseason. They moved on from Lyle Collins. They moved on from Amari Cooper. They haven't been able to re-sign some key guys on the defensive side of the ball. All that's a product of paying Dak Prescott $40 million a year. Mm-hmm. So all I'm saying is when we're comparing these quarterbacks and we're looking at this list, just consider the fact that Dak Prescott is probably going to be under a little more pressure because he doesn't have the same talent base that he did before he got his contract extension.
Diana, go.
I do think Lamar Jackson has done a remarkable job from the business side of this deal. We've all seen this sort of unfold over the last few weeks, and the best insiders in the game can't even get information as to the details of this deal. So credit to the Ravens, credit to Lamar. So when we talk about how, you know, how we started this conversation about him changing his Twitter banner to, you know, to the grill, to the teeth, you know, this is the first time we've seen Lamar talk about money, right? And make reference to it. And he may say, hey, you know, this was just me playing. This is me just like having fun. He knows all eyes are on him. So it's certainly a little bit of an interesting layer here to the conversation, knowing how good he has been about just staying mum on the whole thing.
I got to leave it there for the moment, but we will come back to this. But we have just heard from Tiger Woods. So let's go to Scotland next. Tiger Woods back on the course this morning at St. Andrews, getting set for the Open Championship. And after he finished his practice round today, he talked to reporters and was critical of all the players who've abandoned the PGA Tour for the new LIV Tour. Listen.
The players who have chosen to go to LIV and to play on, to play there, I disagree with it. What they've done is they've turned their back on what has allowed them to get to this position. What these players are doing for, you know, guaranteed money, what is the incentive to practice? What is the incentive to go out there and earn it in the dirt?
Tiger Woods today in Scotland. Yesterday, the U.S. Department of Justice opened an investigation into the PGA Tour for, among other things, suspending players who joined the LIV Tour. We'll see where that goes. Meanwhile, here's where we're going. Coming up, teaming up with Kyrie, LeBron's best chance. Is it for his fifth championship? Does a Hollywood reunion make the Lakers a contender for a title? We'll answer that question next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, we're back, and Get Your Eyes Checked is brought to you by America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses. Hey, Chris Canty, take a look at this. So over the weekend, we got a Braves fan, all right, and he's going to go after this foul ball here, and just take a look. This is not exactly...
Listen, I give him credit for the effort. Completely lays out, G, and he ends up getting the ball, but man, he ate it in order to get it, didn't he? Look at that. Oh. Boom. Somebody put that guy in concussion protocol. My goodness.
Anyway.
No, you can't play that all, Playboy. You cannot play that all. You ate that one.
Okay. That's no fun. All right. Let's bring Zach Lowe in here. It's time for Fact or Fiction. Zach, if I were to say James Harden and Joel Embiid back together in Philly make the Sixers the favorites in the East, would that be fact or fiction?
I love the Sixers offseason. Love the P.J. Tucker move, D'Anthony Melton, Daniel House. But did you say favorites in the East? Mm-hmm. After James Harden laid another egg in an elimination game, fiction, the Bucks and the Celtics laugh at the question.
Fair enough. Zach Lowe firing today. Let's go next. Zion Williamson, if I said he's going to be all NBA next year, would that be fact or fiction?
It's going to be tough in the forward category if Kawhi and Paul George and AD are healthy. Cat's kind of a forward now with Gobert there. But I'm going fact. I'm going to speak a healthy Zion season into existence. And someone always seems to get hurt in a Siakam or a Randall sneaks in. Fact, fact, fact. Zion's amazing.
Love it. All right, last stop is Kyrie Irving. If I were to say joining the Lakers would make them favorites in the West, would that be fact or fiction?
Fiction, fiction, fiction. The Clippers are loaded for bear. The Warriors just won the championship. Memphis isn't going anywhere. The Nuggets are reloaded. It would make the Lakers dangerous for sure, but favorites right now, that's a fiction.
Okay, I like it, and I love the spirit with which we treated it today. Let me go, Fidel, though. Let me bring you in there from Vegas. The Kyrie of it all, this whole thing is confusing. I said it earlier. Like, Kevin Durant has got, like, immortality to deal with, right? He's going to be remembered forever. Kyrie's just trying to figure out a career and a next move here at a time when he's really in a very complicated place, generally speaking, of his own making. Where does the league see him right now? How, all the people you're talking to in Vegas, how do they see this thing with him?
An incredibly talented player, Greeny, one of the best offensive guards we've ever seen, but probably the player in the league who has the most baggage. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to out here in Vegas who say, Kyrie's great, but I wouldn't want him on my team. Why? Because you can't trust him to be out there night after night. And it's what the Nets just lived. It's what the Celtics lived before them. And it's what the Cavs saw all along. And people say, well, he won with the Cavs and he won with LeBron. That was 6 years ago and a lot of baggage before everything started piling up now.
Yeah, and it does bring the question. Chris, you had some strong comments on Kevin Durant earlier, which I respect. If Kevin Durant, if the friendship with Durant wasn't enough, the relationship, for whatever reason, just wasn't enough to sort of get Kyrie to the place he needed to be the running mate that Kevin Durant needed, why should LeBron trust that he can get it done? Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, that I follow what you're saying.
Do you trust him if you're LeBron?
Yeah, I trust him if you're LeBron because I trust LeBron's player leadership. We haven't seen Kevin Durant display that type of leadership no matter where he's been in the NBA. So that's what would make me believe that you would get the best version of Kyrie Irving. Also, keeping in fact that Kyrie Irving is angling for a max contract after this upcoming year. So I think that money being a motivating factor is going to lead him to be a model citizen if he goes out to L.A. And so that's why I would think that the Lakers would want to be all in on this situation, because what are their options? They don't have a lot of pathways in order to get better. And clearly they're a better team if you've got Kyrie Irving as opposed to Russell Westbrook.
Look, I mean, Zach, there, I can see this a couple of different ways. One of them is if they manage to turn Russell Westbrook into Kyrie Irving, you could look at that almost as a basketball miracle when you consider how bad it looked from their circumstances. But the element of whether you can trust him or not, and Friedle brought it up earlier, I mean, that's a real thing here, Zach. How do you see it?
It's undeniably a real thing. But look, the vaccine mandate issue is gone. Like Canty said, Kyrie is going to be angling for a big long-term deal, and he can't get one if he plays 29, 41, whatever games again next year. And this is LeBron at age 37, turning 38 this season. He's all in to win right now. He has no time, and he is not going to tolerate anything but all-in commitment from Kyrie Irving. And like you said, Greeny, Russ for Kyrie. Now, there's going to have to be draft pick compensation in there because that deal really helps the Lakers. But that deal on its own, if Kyrie Irving is available, transforms the Lakers from what I think is pretty close to a lost cause as a title contender, a team that can win four playoff series, to a team that has at least a puncher's chance of doing that. That's how big a deal that is for the Lakers.
I agree. I mean, absolutely everything hangs in the balance here. And one of the other reasons is because of Anthony Davis, who always sort of hovers above all this, because if he's healthy, he obviously makes a huge difference. Now, he's hoping that his comeback season this year, having played only 40 games a year ago, yesterday at the Summer League action, the general manager, Rob Pelinka, said he has very high expectations for Davis this year. Listen.
He's bought in, and I think he's quietly putting together, one of the biggest off seasons of his career. You can just tell he's got a very serious tone about him, and you know, last year didn't unfold the way any of us wanted, and I think everyone's going to come back with a chip on our shoulder, and AD's going to lead us with that. I think he's working hard. I know he's working really hard on his body.
All right, so I mean, obviously, to some degree, Nick, these are the things that a person in his position has to say. How about the Anthony Davis of it all?
Greeny, everything that's going on with the Lakers right now is cracking me up. You've got Darvin Ham, who's pumping up Russell Westbrook and saying, I've got a whole plan for him, when the front office would love nothing more than to move him this summer and get him out of there. You've got Pelinka saying, oh, AD's having the best offseason possible, when nobody believes that he can actually stay healthy. He was great in the bubble. 3 out of the last 4 years, he hadn't been able to stay on the floor. And then on top of it all, you're trying to add Kyrie to save what is a terrible roster construction. So I'm not buying any of what Pelinka's selling, because the only reason he's saying it is because he has to.
I can't argue with a word of that, Zach. How about you?
I'm buying it. I've already said on my podcast, the Low Post podcast, download it, that Anthony Davis is set for a vengeance season next year. I equate it to how Paul George came back after the bubble when he hit the side of the backboard and was deemed pandemic P and way off P. And everyone looked at recent events and forgot how damn good Paul George is. And he came back and without Kawhi Leonard carried the Clippers to the conference finals. I think Anthony Davis, if he stays healthy, and that's the only issue here, and it's obviously a big one, I think Anthony Davis, if he stays healthy, is going to remind the NBA, hey, remember me? I was in the conversation as a top five player 2 years ago. You all forgot about me. I think he's going to have a big, big year if he stays healthy. So I'm buying what Rob Pelinka is selling.
I like it. How about that, Canty? You're a Laker fan. Why? Why?
I'm a Lakers fan, but Zach Lowe must be a bigger Lakers fan if he's buying what Rob Pelinka is saying about Anthony Davis. Because I'm not, G. I'm just not. You're talking about a player that has missed half the games the last 2 years. And stop me when we see a big man that's knocking on 30 years old, that's had injury concerns, actually get healthier as his career goes on. They're like running backs in the National Football League. Once they start knocking on 30, they can't stay healthy, and you're not going to get the productivity. That's how I feel about Anthony Davis, and it's unfortunate because this was supposed to be the guy that the Lakers handed the baton to when LeBron James got to the tail end of his career. But it hasn't worked out as such, and that's why I can't have a lot of faith that we're going to get a better version of Anthony Davis than what we've seen the last 2 years.
Look, I think that's reasonable. And you know, Zach, let's just live in a world where they do are able to nurse him there, right? So let's say it's not realistic to think he's going to play 78 games. But if they get him there, if they get to the finish line with a healthy LeBron, a healthy Anthony Davis, and Kyrie Irving on that team, are they a legitimate factor in a Western Conference that is stacked top to bottom? Yes or no at this point, Zach Lowe?
I think absolutely yes. People have gotten by laughing at the Lakers the last 2 years. It's fun to laugh at Goliath when he's on his knees and struggling and flailing all about. But those big three, they fit together, and I like a lot of what the Lakers did in the offseason. Now, you can just laugh at me and say, Lonnie Walker, Damian Jones, Troy Brown Jr., Juan Toscano-Anderson, those are eighth men, ninth men, and maybe you're right. Maybe you're right, but those are at least young players who fit around those big three, and stars win on the biggest stage. Now, I'd rank the Clippers over them, the Warriors over them, the Nuggets over them, maybe Memphis, maybe Dallas, we'll see, but they have a puncher's chance, and they would absolutely be a factor. No one would be excited to play those three guys healthy in the first or second round of the playoffs, even the teams that I just named.
I think that's exactly fair. And I will finish it by saying, if you don't listen to the Low Post podcast, you're not really a basketball fan to begin with. Everybody
yeah,
does.
Yeah, baby.
Hey, take a look at Chet Holmgren, everybody. This kid has been so good in the summer league. The number two overall pick. He was on the floor last night, Orlando and OKC. Paolo Banchero was not out there. They shut him down after two games. He was terrific. A third quarter, OKC is up by eight. And look at the big man to the big man. It's Josh Giddey to Holmgren, who puts it up, and he's good. Next possession is Jalen Williams throwing it up, and it's Holmgren showing the good agility for the big man. Look at him going up there. The pass a little bit off, but he still manages to get it to go on the other end of the alley-oop. We're in the fourth quarter now. It's a six-point game for whatever that's worth. This is Holmgren, another slam dunk inside. Holmgren, 16 points, 10 rebounds, two block shots. There's one of them right there. We'll stay with the play. His second double-double of the summer league. But look at him getting up the floor, gets himself in position, gets himself a little offensive rebound. He's doing a little bit of all of it so far. So far, so good for the number two overall pick. Thunder go on to win this one by a score of 84-81. So Holmgren scores in double figures in all four summer league games, shooting 50% from the floor, better than 40% on threes, and got it done defensively as well, averaging nearly 10 rebounds and multiple blocks in each game. A very good summer for a good young player. All right, as we continue, here's another young player who needs to have a good summer and then a good fall. Is it Tua's last chance in Miami? You will hear from his star receiver on what he's seeing right now. Next, Get Up on ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back on Get Up, and Tua Tagovailoa is entering his third season. He has yet to lead the Dolphins to the playoffs, but this offseason, Miami adding a bunch of new weapons, including upgrading their offensive line and, of course, trading for Tyreek Hill. Hill has a new podcast, and he brought Jaylen Waddle on the podcast, and they were talking about how important this year is for their quarterback. Listen.
You know, in the NFL, they only give you like 2 to 3 years to be a successful quarterback, especially if you're a first-round draft pick. And if you don't succeed after those years, then it's kick rocks, man. So basically, they don't put Tua into that. It's basically his last year, man, just to show people what he got. It's going to be a lot of people taking their words back on what they said about Uno.
I ain't going to lie. That boy looks scary right now.
Okay, so this is the conversation that his receivers are having right now. Diana Russini, what is your reaction?
Can we stop doing podcasts? Can we, like, wait till we get to training camp? Can we just, like, wait till we see Tua throw the ball to Tyreek cleanly with actual defenders out on the field? Look, I love when teammates have each other's back. You should. It's great. But this is building the pressure, and it's mounting. And here we are in mid-July talking about Tua again. And look, we could sit here all day long and figure out a breakdown and analyze, is he actually going to be good? Is he good? Is he the future? None of us know yet. But by having Tyreek Hill, who is a gigantic member of this offense, we know what the Dolphins did to get him here, continually talk, which, by the way, I don't recall Tyreek Hill doing any of this talking when he was with the Kansas City Chiefs. Because you know Andy Reid probably had a very, strict rule with how much media his players could do. All this is doing is just creating and putting more pressure on Tua, who has pretty much, all the pressure in the world on him this season.
Yeah, I mean, that was Tyreek Hill on his own podcast, so he's not being asked hard-hitting questions. He's just raising this all on his own. And, Lewis, it is a fascinating scenario. But the very first thing he said is, we give up on quarterbacks after 2 or 3 years if they're first-round picks. They can go kick rocks, whatever else it is. So there is that level of pressure on the young quarterback right now, yes?
Yeah, there's no question about it. Look, we do it in the media. As soon as people do not instantly give you the return on investment that you think that they should, you know, we systematically start to tear them down and say, well, they need to find someone else. Well, they need to go and find another young quarterback and find someone else with a bigger arm, bigger upside, you know, someone who just shows that they can get it right out of the box. And look, I think with Tua, we lose perspective on, you know, what he was dealing with from an injury perspective when he came into the NFL. But I think we lose perspective on maybe the dysfunctional relationship between him and the coaching staff while he was down there. We lose perspective on the just absolutely atrocious offensive line and lack of weaponry, lack of run game surrounding him. Now, I know people say, well, when you're the fifth pick overall, you don't need all that. You need to be able to transcend all that. And you need to be, as Chris Candy says, the force multiplier and make everyone else better. Well, you know, sometimes we overuse that phrase in terms of, like, you can't make offensive linemen block better. You can't make running backs run better. You can't make wide receivers faster. And I'm not saying that, like, some of the onus isn't on him, but I'm telling you, this football team right now, I will say this, though. This football team, with the additions that they made on the offensive line, starting with Teron Armstead, Connor Williams at offensive center, you know, with Jaylen Waddle, with Tyreek, there's no question that this is a lot of pressure on this young man this year, and they are adding to it. But look, that's just the way it goes in the NFL when you're the fifth pick of the first round.
Yeah.
How do you see it, Canty?
I see it the same way that Lewis does. The organization has eliminated all the excuses as to why Tua can't get it done. But to Diana's point about teammates putting pressure on him, look, there's going to be internal and external pressure based on the expectations that the Dolphins have. And if Tua folds under that, then he ain't your guy anyway. So I don't have a problem with Tyreek Hill coming out and stating the obvious, because the reality is the Dolphins have not one but 2 first-round draft picks next year in a quarterback-rich draft. As many as 6 guys going in the first round is what's being projected. So, yeah, Tua better get it done. And if he doesn't get it done, then he's going to be out of a job. And Chris Greer ain't going to be that far behind him, because guess what? Chris Geary is the GM that passed on Justin Herbert in order to draft Tua with the fifth overall pick 3 years ago.
Go ahead, Lewis.
And how about this? Maybe, just maybe, Tyreek and Jalen are telling the truth. Maybe they do really like what they see. Mm-hmm. This guy was the fifth pick of the first round, okay? He was lighting it up down in Alabama and throwing the football, and we were all sitting there going, man, this kid can play. Okay, so it's not like all of a sudden we're talking about some bum or some scrub who all of a sudden just duped his way into the top five, into being a top five pick in the first round. He earned that. He deserved being drafted where he got drafted. Now, what happens is when you have a guy like Justin Herbert who gets thrown into the fire out there, you know, in L.A., on a moment's notice and all of a sudden just takes the world by storm. Like, look, then all of a sudden the comparison is going to get thrown out of whack because people are going, you need to be like that guy. You need to be living up to expectations like that guy has. But maybe Jalen and Tyreek are telling the truth. We're going to see.
Go ahead, Diana.
Okay, but Lou, a lot of this also is the fact that Tyreek comes from Kansas City where he played with Patrick Mahomes, right? Sure. One of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. So when we're listening to him, there's in our mind, there's credibility there. This is a player who just played with greatness. So for, you know, we're trusting his eye and what he's seeing and how he's been around Tua. So yeah, you're right. Like, he could be right based mm-hmm. on the experience he's had, but we haven't seen it yet. And there hasn't been a live game. So I think this, at the end of the day, I think his heart's in the right place. He's showing support, but I just don't believe it helps Tua.
Yeah, it's no fun, right, though, to just talk about things that have already happened. I mean, we can all do that. We can all watch the tape and go, yeah, he's pretty good. Yeah, you know.
Let's see.
I forgot, Lou. You're Mr. Fun, so.
I will find out. I'm old enough to remember when the league was tanking for Tua, right? So, I mean, it's not that long ago. Let's see what he's able to do.
I know.
There is one unfinished piece of business around the National Football League right now that involves this quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, at this moment still a 49er. Now, back in May, Kyle Shanahan said he expects the Niners to trade Jimmy G, but his shoulder surgery had put that on hold. Yesterday, Jeremy Fowler reported the Seahawks are still monitoring that situation, and so are we. Which brings me back to you, Diana. Where do we stand with Jimmy G right now?
Yeah, let's just talk timeline, right? Because that's really what everyone wants to know. When is Jimmy getting moved? He's getting moved. When, though? When is this happening? You know, and the sense around the league is the Niners are just waiting for the right situation with a team that is in need of a quarterback. In terms of him getting cut, right? Because that's always on the table. Will they cut Jimmy G? You know, from conversations I've had over the last few weeks, that doesn't seem to be the plan. That's not what the Niners are looking to do. They want a trade partner. And the thing is, there will be a market. There will be, right? Because there will be a team that has a quarterback that unfortunately gets injured or perhaps is disappointed in a performance of a backup quarterback or a quarterback that's on their roster. So something will get done. It's really, we just going to have to sit here and wait the way we just did with Baker Mayfield.
But in the 10 seconds I have here, Diana, is there a world in which he remains there and becomes the quarterback in San Francisco again? Or is that ship completely sailed?
Every conversation I've had with San Francisco is Trey Lance is our quarterback. What else do we need to say to make this clearer? So just based on how they talk about Trey, it does not seem like Jimmy is in their plans.
Okay, so there's the answer. That's perfect. All right, we'll continue as we roll on. By the way, to let you know, we have top-ranked boxing coming up on Friday night, highlighted by our junior welterweight main event between undefeated fighters, with the winner having a good shot at a title chance. Coverage begins 9 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Plus, as coverage beginning at 7 Eastern. Coming up, Miami Vice are the Nets and Heat talking about a Durant deal. What would it take for KD to bring his talents to South Beach? That's next.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.